Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
I think my ear's still recovering from Go Carol Crazy at the moment. So you guys back there were okay. I was stood right next to that speaker. It was pretty loud, but it was good fun.
Yeah.
A lot of people who came were giving some good feedback. I'd really enjoyed it, so fab. So I got my comeuppance because Elijah, his grandparents, got him an instrument set for Christmas. So. Pair of maracas, jingling sticky thing, a triangle,
yay,
which I've not played with since I was at school. So it was. I just had to laugh when he opened it. I was like, yeah. Somebody's got a sense of humour somewhere. Well, yes, we're starting a new series today, and as we start into a new year, 2015, I'm quite disappointed because we've reached 2015 now, so all those childhood dreams from watching Back to the Future 2, where Marty McFly went to 2015 and they had hoverboards and flying cars and everything else. So the 80s version of 2015 is far different to how it turned out. So I kind of thinking, you know, I'm not going to get my hoverboard for my birthday this year. Apparently they are going to. But 2015, either way, we're launched in, a new series, Full Speed Ahead. And this, for the next month, we want to be looking at a particular word, and that word is momentum. Momentum. And with regards to momentum within our personal life, and our personal faith and our personal walk with God, and this whole notion of momentum and how when we have momentum, things are easier. When we don't have momentum, things are a bit of a struggle. Mm-hmm. And as we go through this series, we'll all be able to pick out points in our life where we can recognise and think, yeah, I recognise at that point in my life, I was really struggling. It was more of a limp than having a full speed ahead momentum. And so I've looked at the word momentum, and there's loads of different definitions of it. There's like ones that are like really deep in physics, which I just don't even understand. But the one I found, which was really simple, I thought was great, was a moving object gaining pace or gaining speed. And I was like, that makes sense to me. That's kind of nice and simple. That's momentum. Something moving forward, which is gaining speed and gaining momentum. So to start with then, so when we have no forward momentum, the simplest tasks can seem impossible. Small problems look like massive mountains. Your morale is low, and the future is dark. And I don't know if you ever realised, but if a train is still on its tracks, even the smallest block of wood can prevent it from moving forward. When you imagine a train in full pelt, that's kind of hard to imagine, really, but a train on its tracks with a small block of wood on the track in front of it will stop it moving forward. It will stand still, it will stay still, and that small block of wood will completely prevent that train from not only gaining momentum, but gaining any movement whatsoever. Whereas with a train that's in full speed, full flight, a bit like the one on there, a train that is just planned for it will break through most things. And I kind of like, when I was picturing this, I was picturing some of those films where like the train comes off the tracks and it just keeps going forever and ever and ever because of the momentum it's built up. The one I was thinking was in Super 8, anybody that's seen Super 8, where the train comes off the tracks and it's like this big massive catastrophe. And it's like, wow, that's momentum. A train at full speed ahead is going to break through most things. Any cars on the tracks, it's going to smash them out of the way. Concrete walls, it's going to smash straight through them. So a train that's in full momentum, that's full speed ahead, it takes some stopping. Even if something tries to stop it in its tracks, and it eventually might stop, but it goes way further than the point where the stop happens. I'm not sure what kind of thing you would have to put in front of a train for it not to keep moving forward. But anyway, so momentum is a key thing. And it's a funny one because it's important and it's key, but you won't find the word momentum anywhere in the Bible. You won't find that particular word in itself in the Bible. You can flick through your concordance, unless you've got like a dodgy concordance, you won't find the word momentum because it's just not there. It's not a word that's used in the Bible. But the principle of momentum is all over the Bible. The principle of gaining momentum, having momentum, starting momentum, and losing momentum is all in the Bible. Not only for people's personal lives, but for their what their call and their ministry and what God has entrusted them with as well. So over this next month, we're going to be looking at a particular group of people who, I'm going to just skim over it today, and then throughout the rest of January, we're going to look a little deeper at those particular people. And as we look at those, we're going to learn different elements of around this word momentum and what that means and how that works for us as believers and how we gain it and how we do all this stuff and how we make it work in our favour and our walk with God, especially going into a new year, because there's almost a little bit of, sometimes it's like coming out of Christmas, you're coming out of a new year, I've got to get going again. And you know, I just get that picture of a train where it's like it starts. I like the sound of a train when it gradually starts to build, unless you go on like the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster at Euro Disney, and there is no momentum. It's just like boom, straight out of the tracks, it's off. So it wouldn't be a good example. But most of the time, if something wants to get moving forward, it's not a very rapid thing that happens. It gradually builds, and each person, we're all wired differently, and what motivates us and what creates momentum in our lives is different. And some things that can bring momentum into our lives might not necessarily have the same impact on somebody else. Our personal life, our personal way that we're wired, the way that God speaks to us, the way that we're encouraged, the way that we find inspiration and gain momentum. Even certain scriptures speak to us differently and enable us to gain momentum differently to somebody else. So we're all different and we all have a personal way of doing that. But how we do that? Well, that's something that you maybe need to have a think about. What is it in my life that actually causes me to get excited and gets me going and gets those wheels starting to turn faster and faster in my life? What is it that really gets me excited and gets me thinking, yeah, we're moving forward. Something's moving forward in my life with this. And what is it that also, when you're in it, you kind of just think, I'm just not getting any momentum here whatsoever. I'm just stuck. I've got a wooden block on my track here. It's just not working. So we're going to look at four people, and we're going to skim over them today, as I said, and then we're going to look at them more deeply. And it's the first four kings of Israel, because all four of them, Saul, David, Solomon, and Rehoboam, had a completely different experience of momentum for themselves personally and for the kingdom of Israel as well. So first one, Saul, King Saul. So he's the Saul that kind of the first king of Israel, kind of got off to a good start and was called to be the king and everything was going all right. But then eventually, we all kind of, well, not all, some of us will know the story of Saul, but I'm not going to go into it. We'll look at that later. But Saul lacked momentum. He lacked momentum because of his weak character, selfishness, and improper motives. Saul was incapable of creating momentum for himself, for his people, and for his kingdom. The stuff that he did, the way that he was always kind of, you know, you read it and you think, why did you do that? But I read Saul and I think, you get it right there. You did so well. And then you go and do something stupid. Why did you do that? But those things that he kept doing over and over again that were like, God would say one thing and give him an amazing instruction and he'd follow it. And then he'd just do something like at the back end or something. He'd be like, why? What is the matter with you? Like, and you're reading this like from a distance and you're thinking, yeah, I'd probably do that myself actually as well. But Saul lacked momentum. He just couldn't get any momentum because of the silly things that he kept doing. David came next. David created momentum. He created momentum. Even before he became king, David had the ability to create momentum, beginning with his defeat of Goliath. But we kind of know that he comes onto the scene having defeated Goliath, but he was building momentum in his own life way before that. Yeah. When he stepped out to face Goliath, everybody else picked up on the momentum of David at that point, but David's wheels had been turning for many, many years before. He learnt what it was to trust God and to just do what God said, and to see that momentum build. So that by the time he stepped onto the battlefield to face Goliath, he'd already got this major momentum in his personal life, major momentum in his faith in God. he was like going super fast into this with his momentum, and people were kind of like, "What? Who is this man? Who's this guy?" And he's like, he's been out in the back of nowhere building this momentum with God. So the moment he steps onto the scene, it's like, whoa, this guy's just flattened a giant. He created momentum. He created that momentum personally, which then carried him through the rest of his kingship. And he was able to continue creating that throughout his life, throughout the different things he did. And again, we'll look a little bit more at David later in the month about what things he did which were creating that momentum. And even when David made those, some of the mistakes he made, his momentum was so great it was able to continue. It didn't stop him in his tracks.
Yeah.
Next came Solomon. I love Solomon. Solomon's one of my like inspirational figures and characters in the Bible. The guy is just like, you know, the fact that he, you know, the whole thing of asking God for wisdom, out of everything he could have asked for, he asked for wisdom. And I love that, because that shows that he was already wise before God granted him the wisdom. If I actually asked that, how many of us would have done that? You know, God comes and says, I will give you anything. How many of us would really say, I want wisdom to be able to lead this nation? I suppose it depends on where you are. But Solomon increased momentum. Solomon's best friend was the momentum created by his father David. For himself personally and for the kingdom of Israel, he increased that momentum. He took what David had built, had created, and increased it in his own life and increased it in the nation's life. He created more of what David had created. Solomon took the momentum of his father, and it gave it, which had given him, which, sorry, he gave, his father had given him, and created the most powerful, prosperous nation in the world. He created something far greater, built on the momentum that had already been started. So you start to see this journey where, you know, Saul just couldn't get it. Saul lacked momentum. David created this momentum and did amazing things. Solomon increased the momentum and things were looking great. And then comes along Rehoboam. Okay, and we kind of, some of us will know the story of Rehoboam. Rehoboam stopped momentum. So all this stuff that had been built. So on one important decision made by Rehoboam, hinged on the big question, would he continue the momentum created by his father and grandfather, or would it stop him? All the momentum that David and Solomon had created over several decades of leadership was destroyed by Rehoboam in a matter of days. And he just extinguished the whole thing. And in doing so, he destroyed the kingdom. What this momentum had built, what this momentum had gained in people's personal lives, in the lives of the kingdom, in one decision, Rehoboam cut the whole thing apart. He stopped the momentum. And that's the like the four people we're going to be looking at, and looking deeper into those points of Saul, David, Solomon and Rehoboam, and looking at how that links in with us personally and our walk with God, our walk of faith, how we match up to those things. What is it in our lives that stop us and enable us to be a place of lacking momentum? What is it that causes us to create momentum? What is it that we can take and increase the momentum? And what are some of the things that we maybe do that just stop the momentum dead in its tracks in our life and stop what God is wanting to do in our lives and just cut it completely off at the feet and like completely destroy maybe what we've been building? And we've all probably been there where we've felt we've built momentum and we're building something and we're really going with God and we're really working with God, and then all of a sudden one thing happens, or we do one thing and we kind of think, man, this is not as easy as it used to be. Because momentum is such a gift, and you see it in every single area, whether it's your personal life, whether it's in the corporate life of the church. One of the places that it's most evident is in the world of sport. Yes, I'm talking about the world of sport. I don't think I've mentioned sport for a long time, but here we go.
Since last year.
When you're building momentum, and I was thinking about how when I was playing sports myself, there was something which happened when maybe I was about 15, 16, and I was on a successful team that was in, we were successful in our own league. We were two divisions down from the top, because we'd lost momentum. but we were the best team in that division, and every single week we were winning. We were a successful team, and as a team, we were building momentum, and we knew what it was to win. And each one of us on that team just expected, when we turned up every week, we're going to win. We were building momentum throughout the season. We were building momentum in every game. Every game that we won was more and more momentum, more and more success. Until something strange happened, because we built this momentum and we were successful in our own right, that momentum meant that we were able to win games that we shouldn't have been able to win. By design, we should have lost those games. Because when it came to the cup matches, which means you play teams in different leagues, teams that are better than you, teams that are higher in the divisions, usually at 15, 16, that usually just means that the team's far bigger than you. I always remember that team turning up, and it was like, they've all got beards and stuff, and it's like, well, they've got a lot of coaches with them. It's like, no, that's the team. It's like, that's the team. I'm not playing against them. Like, pull my arms off. It's like, you can just go past. He runs at me, I'm moving. But we played these teams, and because we'd built momentum in our own right, we actually beat teams that we shouldn't have been able to beat, because the momentum enabled us to do it. And you see it in a professional sport where, like, your small town team like go really far in the cup and they end up like beating some big team because they've built momentum, and it kind of outgrows the ability of the team, or outgrows the ability of the person, enables you to do stuff which you never thought you would be able to do. So I look back on that and think, man, there's some of those games, like, how did we win that? And it was because of momentum. Because we were going out expecting to win. It was like, I don't care how good this team are, I don't care how many divisions up they are or how big they are, we're going to win this game, because that's what we do. This year we win, and we carried on winning. Eventually we did lose, the momentum only took us so far, but we won games we should never have. And that applies to us personally in our lives. When we're in that place with God and that momentum's building, God is able to cause us to do things which we never imagined we'd be able to do because of the momentum we've built with Him. We look back on things, we think, how on earth did I do that? How did that happen? How was I able to do that? How was I able to make that decision at the right time? How was I able to do it? And it all comes down to that momentum that we build with God. We kind of move forward into something with a completely different mindset. But Solomon knew what it was to build momentum. And he knew what it was to build on the momentum that was already there. And we've kind of got an amazing person who's already built momentum for us in Jesus. And he's the person who has gained an amazing momentum of what it is to personally gain momentum. Now we have a choice. Do we continue on and just build and increase the momentum that Jesus has brought into our lives? Or do we stop it? Or do we just ignore it? Or do we just think, well, yeah, I'm going to be a Christian. We all know what that means now. But I'll kind of do it my way. I think my way might be a bit different and a bit better than Jesus. And I think, well, why would you want to do that? You know, Jesus has built this amazing momentum. Let's build on it. But this is what Solomon did. Just a short snippet of Solomon. He valued what David had provided for him. He was able to value what David had provided for him. We too need to value what Jesus has provided for us. For me personally, I can value what Pastor Lynn has provided for me, what Pastor Paul has provided for me, as the previous two pastors of this church. I can value that and recognise, yeah, there's something that I can build on here. There's something that I can move on. It always saddens my heart when I hear of people who just completely cut across the legacy and the history of their church and say, you know, well, we don't have a history anymore. We're starting again. We're starting afresh. None of the past is the past anymore. This is our new, and it does happen. But it saddens my heart when I hear that, because I think, why would you want to do that? You know, some people have worked really hard to build a legacy and build a momentum that you can build on. Solomon humbly asked God for leadership wisdom above all else. But in doing so, he got everything else anyway. He made wise decisions that won him credibility. He was making the right decisions out of that wisdom. And he surrounded himself with wise and skillful leaders and people. He put the right people around him so that he would not only build personal momentum, but he'd have people to help him with that momentum as well. Wisdom, a good inner circle, and wise decision-making propelled Solomon forward, and momentum increased. So wisdom, the wisdom of God, a good inner circle, that's basically the people that are the closest to you. The people that are right in with you. And at the men's weekend, I was talking about this with the guys and the importance of having a strong inner circle. And not everybody's on your inner circle. It's just a small handful of people that are kind of, they just know you inside out. They're the kinds of people that you can sit in a room with and you can just be yourself. And, you know, maybe you're like that with everybody. But there's sometimes some people you just want to sit down and it's like, oh, actually, I'm really fed up. Or, you know what? Actually, I'm finding this a struggle, or actually, and all these things, but a strong inner circle is key because that will help you keep moving forward. It will protect what momentum you've built and will help you propel the other momentum forward. And wise decision making, making the right choices with regards to the momentum that we want to see build in our life is just as important. More recently, with regards to stopping momentum, you can remove something out, and once that's removed, the momentum just goes. And I do apologise to Mr. Parker for using this as an example, but I'm going to use Liverpool Football Club as an example. So anybody who's au fait in any way with football will know that last season, Liverpool had one of the most successful seasons they've had in years. And they were building this amazing momentum. And it was like, man, this is going to be the year. This is going to be the year. And this momentum was building. It was like, they've just missed out. Maybe next year, because if they carry that momentum into next season, this is going to be awesome. And they sold their most successful player. They sold Luis Suarez. He's the one who bites people. Although he has said he's not going to do it anymore, so it's okay. They sold their best player, and it was kind of like, I'm not sure it's going to work this season now. And lo and behold, they're really struggling this year, and the momentum has completely gone and been knocked out because of that one person going, because of that one player being sold, that has completely rocked the momentum that they had. And sometimes for us, we might move something or remove something out of our lives that we think, why have I lost this momentum? And it's sometimes good to just pray and say to God, God, why? And in Liverpool don't need to pray to ask God why they've lost the momentum. They just have to look at however much it was, £80 million cheque that they got for, they sold their momentum for £80 million is how it works. But as we recognize that in our own lives, and we just say, God, what is it that I've changed that's causing me to lose this momentum? What is it that's causing me to not be able to move forward in the way that I did? Why are things more difficult than they were? Because it is. When you're in a place where you're with God and that momentum's building and you're in a kind of David, Solomon place, things come across your path and you just swat them down like flies, because it's just like, I'm going forward, I am moving forward, I'm like a steaming locomotive, nothing is getting in my way because I'm moving into it. But when we don't have that momentum, certain things come up and it's like, oh, this is hard, I'm struggling with this, I didn't used to find this hard, but this is really tough, this is really difficult. And not to say that everything becomes easy when you've got momentum. We know life isn't easy, it's a challenge, it's difficult, things happen, but momentum makes it easier to get through those things. And creating momentum is a tricky one, because again, it's going to look different for every single person. Every single person is going to create momentum differently. Things that are going to motivate me and get momentum going in my life are not going to get you going. Just going to think, why is that? You know, why are you getting motivated and excited about that? You know, for example, I've been motivated and excited about finding my old Lego at my parents' house this week over Christmas. So my New Year was spent building a 1984 Lego castle. Awesome. But so I get excited about that. Someone's like, I can't believe you're so excited. Like, I was like a little kid, kind of like just loving like getting these little Lego figures. I was like, I can't believe we've still got these. I've got one in my pocket. Look,
Benny.
But what gets me excited doesn't necessarily get everybody else excited, and what causes momentum to build in my life won't cause momentum to build in your life, because God knows us as individuals. And not that I'm saying that, you know, building Lego has anything to do with my call as a pastor or anything, but, you know, just relaxing a little bit. It's good to relax from time to time.
Yeah.
But as we understand the value of momentum, and we listen to God, and we navigate properly, and we have a clear vision, and we know where we're going, we recognise that changes are always going to happen, we celebrate the small victories in our lives, and we honour what God's done in our life before, we start to create momentum in our lives. And celebrating small victories is so important. Sometimes we're always looking for the big thing, but sometimes just a small victory, it's kind of like, it's so encouraging when you look and think, man, look what I've just managed to do. Look what God's used me to do. Look what God has done in my life. And as we celebrate the little victories, you start to gain momentum, because it starts with the ch-ch-ch-ch, 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 ch-ch-ch-ch. And then you start getting your bigger victories and you think, wow. And you look back and you think, you know, the Bible's clear, isn't it? Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. When you're starting with your momentum, celebrate the little victories, celebrate the little things. You know, I don't know how that looks for you, but certain things for me, I just think, man, I should have celebrated that a bit more. That was a pretty big deal. Not a massive on the grand scheme of things, but to me, it was a big deal. And celebrating those things makes a massive difference. And as we move into those, it makes momentum become strong. It makes momentum build. It causes the things in our life that come against us to be smashed through much easier. It causes the things that God wants us to do to become more apparent to us. And as we go full speed ahead, our walk with God, our run with God, however you want to look at it, our train ride with God, is something which just becomes powerful in our lives. The power of God works and creates that momentum for us to move into a way that we don't think is possible sometimes. And I can guarantee you that today we might all be sat in our different respective places on the chairs where we are thinking, I will never be able to do that. Or I'm just not sure that's ever going to happen. But when we get that momentum, I can guarantee you that your mind, it just shifts. Your mind shifts and you think, yeah, actually I can do this. But it's, again, it's celebrating a small victory, step by step, because momentum isn't an instant thing. It sometimes takes time to get it going. As I said, you know, there's not many vehicles that are just like out of the blocks and poof, straight into full speed. It takes time. It's a small little step. It's a small little getting going. But as that gets going, as that momentum builds, God is able to do far more in our lives. And ensuring that we're talking to God, we're listening to God, we're looking at what makes a difference with God, and we're trying to find a way to make that work. So as we look back throughout the rest of this momentum and full speed ahead throughout January, as we look at Saul and what it was that caused him to not be able to get any momentum going, what it was about David that caused him to create it, what it was about Solomon that caused him to be able to harness it and take a hold of that and build on it, and what it was about Rehoboam that caused him to just stop it dead in his tracks. And as we look at those and apply them to our lives, my prayer is that we will be able to recognise that in our own lives and build our momentum in our lives. So a couple of questions to think, you know, probably look at these in Connect as well, but what are momentum stealers in your own life? What are the things that steal the momentum from you? When you know you're getting going and all of a sudden something happens and you think, nah, it's gone. What are momentum stealers in your own life? When you look at the past year, what were momentum builders for you? When you look back over the past year, what caused momentum to build in your life? And why did that momentum build? And when you look at the past year, what were momentum killers for you? And why did they kill your momentum? Have a think about those and start to work with God through those things and start to look at building that momentum as you launch out into 2015. Take a hold of this and recognise, I want to be full speed ahead for God. I want to be full speed ahead to where God's got me to go. What God has got for me, where God is taking me. For some of you, it might be as simple as, I need to know where God is taking me, because I don't want to be going full speed ahead into something that's the wrong direction. I want to be going one direction, and that's God's way. If there had been a group of year six girls, I'd have screamed then. Believe me, I've experienced it. But as we do that, and as we gain that momentum, and as we take a hold of it, we know that we're going to go in the way that God wants. So for some of you, it might be finding out, what's the direction that I want this momentum to build in? For some of you, it might be, why did I lose that momentum that I had? For others, it might be, why am I losing it? For others, it might be, how do I gain it? What is it that's going to spark momentum in my life? What is it that God can do in my life? So let's all stand. We're going to close it there. We're going to pray. And we're going to give this time to God. And we're going to just really commit to God and say, you know, you show me these things. Because if you're like me, it took me some time to work through what is it that really gets me going. What is it that motivates and gets momentum going in my life? What is it that stops momentum in my life and just completely, what is it that slows me down? What is it that can stop it dead in its tracks? Because there's those things as well. And as we start to pray, just let God speak to you. You know, he might speak to you now. Again, we're going to apply the Andy Elms cold light of day thing. Don't make any decisions today. Do it over coffee tomorrow morning with God when you've woken up and you've made the decision to think through what God's saying. But this is going to be a process. We're going to build momentum throughout January as we look at these different things and as we look at how that works. And we'll probably see what God's got to do for us. So let's just give thanks to God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Yeah. Praise you, Father.